Hey, church. Welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff. For those of you who may just be tuning in, I'm privileged to take you through the Bible here and get a little encouragement in the morning. So if it's your first time, welcome. And if you've been watching for a long time, welcome back. If you're encouraged by these podcasts, go ahead and like them and share them so that more people can feel encouraged as well. So today we're going to be in chapter 15 of Genesis. We're going to jump around a little bit for the Christmas season here. So many years ago, my wife and I, we bought one of those Advent trees from Costco, and you might have seen them. They're wooden and stand about this tall, and got a couple layers of wooden branches and whatnot, and the base is all of the Advent. So it's not a religious Advent thing. It's more Christmassy, so they've got ornaments. And so each day leading up to Christmas, you take out an ornament and you place it on the tree with a little peg. And so most Decembers, throughout the history of having that, because we've had that maybe as long as 20 years, most Decembers start out pretty good. You know, we start taking out the ornaments and putting them on the tree. And then by Christmas morning, we look back and we realize there's, a dozen or more that we need to put on there. So that's because Christmas gets so busy, and everyone's running around figuring out what they need to do. And especially with this, this year we've kind of jokingly vowed, this is the year we're going to make sure that we take out those ornaments on the day they're supposed to be taken out and put them on the tree, and we're going to do it. So far, so good. And so you can ask me next year how we did. But, in that, there's all sorts of Advent gimmicks. We've all seen the chocolate Advent thing where you peel open the thing and get a little chocolate. And I even saw, one this year that was for your dog. So it had different days or treats or toys. And I'm sure none of you bought those. But so it goes without saying that, that culture has drifted away from the true meaning of Advent, right? Advent season, the word in Latin that we get Advent from is Adventus. And that just means arrival. So it's meant to be a time where we prepare or anticipate for the celebration of Christ's first arrival, right, in the manger. And we see that for us, there's a second arrival that we're waiting for too. People throughout history have had, creative ways of marking this Advent season to try to help out, just sort of thinking about it, right? So in 19th century German, in the German-speaking world in the 19th century, in some Catholic regions, so the children, they were allowed to put a piece of straw or a feather in a manger that they had in the home for their good deeds for the day so that Jesus would be more comfortable, right? And then even in the 19th century, they had Advent trees. On those trees, they would place little flags or pieces of paper with scripture and sometimes calendars or candles that would indicate day over day, as it got brighter to the coming of the light, Jesus Christ. And even more conservative congregations, they just gathered and sang songs and read prayers. And so that all got me thinking. Not only, it's the obvious time of year for Advent, and we have this Advent tree, but really it's this idea about waiting on Messiah. And so we all know that, or maybe you do, that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there was a period, maybe as much as 400 or more years, where there was no new revelation from God, and they kind of called that the silent period. So there was that time when Israel was waiting on Messiah. And as I said before, it dawned on me that not only were they waiting on Messiah, but so were we. We're waiting for his second coming. And so I got to thinking, what can we learn from their period of waiting that might be a cautionary tale or encouraging for us? And so, because first of all, we know that people don't do well with the unknown, right? So when we look and see how Israel waited, we see that they just didn't do too good in some areas. When some people don't know what to expect, they can get anxious and they can get to that point in their lives where they feel like, oh, I just got to do something, anything, right? And if they don't know what that something is, in the Old Testament, we see that they got creative, right? We know from the history of Israel, from the silent period, from the silent period until Jesus came, they came up with all sorts of ideas about how to worship God and who this Messiah might be. So they got creative, and they made things up for themselves to do. They added to the law, and if that wasn't good enough, then they made up stuff for other people to do, right, by adding to the law. Still, others became so dependent on what others were telling them to do that they found it hard to believe when Jesus did come, right? This wasn't who they were expecting based on what they were told to expect. And others, in that void of not knowing, of waiting, found themselves, they fell away from the faith, right? I mean, there's no new revelation from God. He's silent. It's been hundreds of years. And, you know, maybe it's just a big myth anyway, right? And so that's where they were at, right? But that's also where we find ourselves at in our period of waiting. We are much better off than Israel is for the fact that we have the completed canon of the Bible, right? We see Christ's work and promised return in the New Testament, and we should be able to settle on that. But we have a hard time doing that as well. So because we see that man's nature hasn't changed, right? We still have all of those tendencies, you know, tendencies to wander and tendency to make stuff up and have wrong thoughts about who Jesus is. And so the question becomes, how do we wait well? And how do we carry on when the waiting gets weary, right? When there's no revelation from God about that. So when I was thinking about this, an Old Testament story came to mind, and it's in Genesis chapter 15. And at first, it may not seem like it's related to Advent, but as we think about it, we can find some instruction here about how we can wait. And so in Genesis 15, it tells the story of Abram receiving this covenant promise from God. And this was when Abram found himself in a moment of anxiety and uncertainty. He wasn't sure about what was going to go on in his life or the life of the family that he had brought out of Ur of the Chaldees. And so God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward." And then began to deliver this promise to Abram about his offspring being greater than the number of the stars in heaven, but it also included this greater covenant that Israel would have a home that wasn't theirs, right, the promised land, and even their being carried away to captivity and their return and their prospering. And so this was a big promise that God was giving to Abram here. And so we see that this was the covenant that was being delivered. And so in that day, the phrase was to be, when you had an agreement like this, it was to cut a covenant. And so we see from this story why that is. So in a nutshell, really what it is when two people make a binding agreement, they would take an animal and they would sacrifice it and they would cut it up and they would arrange the pieces so that the two people making the agreement would be able to walk into the midst of that, make the agreement, and then walk out, thereby passing through and cutting a covenant. And so the idea behind that is if you don't keep up your end of the bargain, you'll end up like these sacrificed pieces of meat on the ground, right? So that's a serious deal. So it was here that Abram, he'd set himself about arranging the supplies for the ceremony as God has instructed him to. And then what's interesting is once all the supplies were arranged, Abram fell asleep again. And we pick this up in Genesis 15:12. And it says, "Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then God said to Abram, Now know, certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. I will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years, and also a nation whom they serve I will judge afterward, and they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. And so that's the other instructive thing here, is that Abram had to wait on this promise. But then he receives the promise, falls asleep. But what happens in the middle of his sleep is what's instructive for us. So in verse 17, we see here that it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed through those pieces. And this is on the same day that the Lord made a covenant with Abram. So the smoking oven and the burning torch is a picture of God. And so what we see here is Abram's sleeping, he's taking a nap, and God is the one who meets himself in the middle and passes through, thereby cutting the covenant with himself. And so Abram's part, if you will, in the covenant was only as a recipient. There wasn't anything, any part of that bargain he needed to uphold. He was merely a recipient of God's promise, which is signified by the whole oven and torch passing through this offering here. So that's the same with us. That's encouragement. That's a connection that we need to make too, right? Is that Abram had already received this gift, this promise from God, based on God doing the work. God was creating a covenant with himself. So that sounds familiar, right? This is Jesus for us on the cross. He's the one who, for us in that new covenant, he was the one who did the work, while we are just recipients of that. And so that's, to me, super encouraging, especially at this time of year when we have to do, leading up to Christmas. What do? So I don't know if you've got like a partially filled out Advent tree sitting in your kitchen, or if you've got some other anxiety about what you're supposed to do. You know, maybe you've got Christmas cards to get out, which we haven't done. Maybe you've got presents to shop for and all these things you have to do. But the encouragement for us is take a nap, right? Is, you know, you might have to wait till some of the shopping is done. But really, to rest is the idea here, right? It's not so much about taking a nap. It's resting in the finished work that Jesus has done for us as believers, and not worrying about all of the do. So between now and the few days that we have before now and Christmas Day, let's just take a moment to eagerly anticipate the celebration of his birth. But then beyond that, like, really think and anticipate that he's promised to come back. Right? He's going to arrive again for us. So I hope that's encouraging for you today. Merry Christmas and have a great week.